Hey, good vach, everybody. It's always a schuss to be together. I want to start out by thanking the Shriers, thanking Eliza, Sarit, who's here with us as well, and the whole Mishpacha, for always opening up their bayis to us. Special Akar Satov being the last shir for a while. Mitzvah Hashem will be back here in a couple months. Hopefully the bayis, you know, they say a base medrash, a base knesses, so Chazal tell us, when Mashiach comes, it's going to be uplifted and brought to Eretz Yisrael. So Bistama, this is a big schuss for your family, because if we have shirim, we learn in your bias, so this bias will also be uplifted, Bakarov. So by the time we're together, the next time in this bias, we should be in Yerushalayim HaKadosh. Mm-hmm. So as we said, it's going to be the last shir, the last weekly shir for a while. Eretz Hashem will send shirim links on the in the WhatsApp chat, and they're going to be, I don't know, for those who will be in Hask or around Hask, and going to be there a few times during the summer. And who knows, you never know when Shirim will come up, but the last official weekly Shir, until probably Elzman for a couple months. So first of all, just everyone should know, please stay in touch. You know, I think everybody has my number by now. And not to think that because we're not learning together weekly, in person at least, doesn't mean I'm not here for you, and Baruch Hashem, you know, there's a lot of, which we're not going to talk about tonight, and I've spoken about much over the years, there's a lot of negativity to technology, but there's also a lot of positive in technology, and how easy it is to get in touch, and to stay in touch, and to gain hashpa, and gain chizik, and therefore, please, everyone, feel free, it's never a bother, be in touch anytime, any shayla, eitza, whatever you need, please, throughout the summer, here for each and every one of you. But as we said, this will be the last year for a while that we learn weekly, so it's a big pressure. We have to have it's a big achrayas tonight. We have to leave each other with a lot of chizik, a lot of zoris, for what hopefully will be a big summer of growth. Sometimes the summer, it's a little bit on the letter of the law, a little bit more difficult for some of us, depending where we'll be. Some of us will be a very spiritual environment, and some of us will be less than we usually are during the year. So we need a little extra chizik going into the summer. I want to talk about a very, very famous Rashi. I'm sure you've heard it discussed. The beginning of the parasha that we read earlier today. So the beginning of the parasha, the beginning of Paloscha, brings us back to Chanukah time. It's very beautiful. Because we all love Chanukah. And are enlightened by Chanukah. The beginning of the parasha, the first few psukim this morning, whether you made it to shul or you didn't, but talks about the mitzvah of the menorah that was given to Aaron HaKohen. Which ultimately is the same menorah that we light every single Chanukah. This is the Ramban that tells us this explicitly, that Mamish, the menorah that we light, is the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. And it's the menorah that Aaron was commanded this morning to light in the Beis HaMikdash. And Aaron's commanded by Moshe to light the menorah. And the Pasuk then says, in Pasuk Gimel, Vayas Kein Aaron. And Aaron did this. He lit the menorah. And then Rashi points out, from a Sifri, he points out a Medrash, which on the surface is very shver, is very difficult to understand. Rashi says on the words, Vayaskin Aaron, that Aaron went through and fulfilled the commandment of Hashem and lit the menorah, Lahagid Shvacho Shivcho Shal Aaron Shal Shina. To tell us, the words Vayaskin Aaron is a way of praising Aaron, a Shevach of Aaron, Shal Shina. He didn't change what he was told to do. He was told to light the menorah, and he lit the menorah. Vayas Kein Aaron, he did it. And that's a big, Rashi seems to be telling us from the Medrash, that's a big Shevach, we're praising Aaron. And it's very hard to understand. Aaron's Gadol Hador. Aaron, Chazal teaches us, was Shokul K'Moshe Rabbeinu, was on the same level like Moshe Rabbeinu. Sometimes it tells us, when it talks about Moshe and Aaron, sometimes the Torah says Moshe V'Aaron, sometimes it says Aaron V'Moshe. It flips the order. And Rashi tells us, that's in Parshas Ve'era, that's to teach us they were equals. They had different jobs. They had different... Aaron was the Kohen Gadol, Aaron was the leader in that, in Avodah, in Ruchnis, in the Mishkan, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael, the Navi of Klal Yisrael, more like the Melech of Klal Yisrael in a certain sense. They had different jobs, different Avodahs. We all have our own jobs in life. Every one of us has a different job in life. None of us should try to be someone we're not. Each and every one of us needs to be our best self. It's a big avodah within itself. That's all that Rabbeinu Hashem wants from each and every one of us. to be our best self. So Aaron's a big Gadol Hador. Imagine, you know, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, right? The Gadol Hador of our door right now, Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Would anyone go, we talk about Reb Chaim, and when you talk about Reb Chaim, I don't know how many of you know, but you talk about how he mamish goes through Kol HaTorah Kula twice a year. His Gabbai told me once that he finishes Shas in the morning before he davens. Meaning, not, I don't mean every daily, I mean, but let me explain. No, he goes through, meaning to finish Shas in the year, you do 7.5 blot a day. It's a lot. Like those who learned Daf Yomi, I'm sure some of your fathers who learned Daf Yomi, they're learning a blot a day. And in 7.5 years, they finish Shas. So some said they can finish Shas every year, they do 7.5 blot a day. He does that in his morning learning before he even davens Shachris every day. Yeah, before he davens Shachris, that's when he'd learn 7.5 blot Gemara. Every single day. So that's Shevach of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, right? You want to talk praise of Reb Chaim Kanievsky. He writes his Svarim. When he writes Svarim, when there's an Iber Shana, like this, right? This year there are two Adars. So there, he has an extra month during the year. That's when he writes Svarim. He takes that month and writes Svarim. I mean, you're talking about a walking Malach. A walking Malach. Would we ever say, for example, let's talk about the Shevach of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, because he was told to put on tefillin and he put on tefillin this morning? I mean, he did. I mean, today he didn't. It was Shabbos Kodesh. But right around now, he's probably davens Nates every morning, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So right around now in Eretz Yisrael, it's probably right now around Nates. Right now, he's probably putting on tefillin. Right now, as we speak, would anyone say, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, God, let's talk about the shevach of Reb Chaim, because he was told to put on tefillin and he put on tefillin. That's a shevach of a tzaddik, of a God Adar. So imagine, this is what we're saying by Aaron HaKohen. Aaron was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go and what and light the menorah. Shevach, wow, you're amazing. Shaloshina, you didn't change, you didn't do anything differently. You did what Hashem told you to. That's it's nice, it's true, but that's a shevach of Aaron HaKohen. It's a very, very strange Rashi. Very difficult to understand. So I saw a pasuk in Koheles that's darshan by the Kozbin Tzur Magid. He says as follows. The pasuk says, Shomer ruach lo yizra, v'roeh ba'avim lo yiksar. Pashupshat, just on the surface, just to translate the words, would mean shomer ruach, those who like just watch the wind, and are not seemingly putting in the effort in planting, and thinking, yeah, they're just chilling, you know, hanging out and chilling. Lo yizra, they're not going to end up planting, and they're not going to be sowing the land and making sure that they have food that they're planting. The roa b'avin, those who stare at the clouds also. Lo yiksar, they're not going to end up, yiksar is to harvest, to cut down that which has grown. That's the pasuk shot in the pasuk, but every pasuk, every word in Koheles is mamish the deepest of depth, right? Koheles was Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech was the wisest of individuals to ever grace this earth. He's not writing in Koheles psukim to teach farmers how to farm and telling them, you know, don't just chill out in the field. So the Kashrus Magid says, he says what he means to be saying is follows. It's really what I'm about to tell you is really based on the Kashrus Magid. It's a little bit of a different take, my own take. It says like this: Shomer ruach. Shomer is not just lashon. Shomer is to watch. Shomer could be to protect. Shomer could also be to anticipate and to wait and to yearn for. We see by Yaakov Vino, after Yosef HaTzadik told over his dreams, the different dreams that he had of the sun and the moons bowing down to him, the stars bowing down to him, and the stalks of wheat bowing down to him. The pasuk says, Aviv Shamaras HaDavar. And Rashi there explains, what does it mean, Aviv Shamaras HaDavar? He knew that this was a nevuah, this was a prophecy. His father, Yaakov, Shamaras HaDavar, he watched him. What does it mean? He waited for it to come to fruition. He waited for it to happen, which ultimately it did. When did it happen? Years later, when he was the prince of Egypt, and all of his brothers, and including Yaakov, and they all came and they bowed down to him, right? So it did ultimately happen. It did ultimately occur. But Aviv Shamaras HaDavar, he waited and yearned. So the Kashan of Magi says, Shomer ruach! Shomer ruach! If you wait for a level of ruchnius, you wait for the inspiration, you wait to be at a level where you're so deeply excited and passionate about your avodas Hashem, lo yizra, you're never going to plant anything. You're never going to live as an Eved Hashem properly. Similarly, on the flip side, and this is a little bit of my own take, not really how he says it on the next part of the pasuk, so that's shoymer ruach, we're waiting for the great inspiration that sometimes we have in life. The great inspiration of a beautiful kumzitz, the great inspiration of a great davening, the great inspiration of whatever it might be. So I'm waiting for that inspiration, lo yizra, I'm never going to plant anything. I'm never going to become anything great. Because those are few and far between. And similarly, v'roa ba'avim, ba'avim are clouds. Clouds represents gloomy. Cloud represents a dark, difficult time in our life. Those who v'roa ba'avim, we look at those dark times and we see them as dark times. And we get caught up in the difficulties of our life, and then the trials and tribulations of our life, and I'm stuck in it, and I see it as clouds, I see it as dark, I see it as a difficult time, lo yixer, I'm never going to harvest anything, I'm never going to come of anything. Meaning what, chevra? In life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, gives us to each and every one of us. He gives us moments of inspiration, moments when we're alive, a little bit what's referred to in the Kabbalistic language of Isrusa Dele'el, some inspiration from above. And whether that's on a yontiv, or whether that's when we're zoyche to visit Eretz Yisrael and spend time in Eretz Yisrael, whatever, different times, and whether it's by a big simcha, or last week there was someone who wrote me a beautiful text, one of the chever wrote me a beautiful text of Akar Satov for a shir she listened to. So I was texting her back, and I was telling her to keep the chizik with her. And she says, right now it's very easy. I'm sitting by a chuppah. Mom is feeling so close to Hashem. It was very beautiful. It was very, very beautiful. And it's true, you buy a chuppah. Chuppah is a kedushin. The Rabban Hashem's present. It's something very holy and special. We're inspired. We have different times in our life where we're so inspired. But if I'm waiting for only those moments to be close to Hashem, so as a true Bas Torah, a constant, consistent Bas Torah is not going to happen. And if when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me those moments, which we all have in our life, those lows, and they could be lows that are very real, or lows that we fabricate, whatever those lows might be, but even just forget about physical lows, emotional lows, spiritual lows, if I get stuck in them and I see them so strongly as lows, and I only see the darkness, and I'm not able to be able to say, all that Hashem does is good, and this is only to be mechazik me, it's only to inspire me, and I'm going to get out of it, I know there's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel, whatever it might be, if I'm not able to do that, and I get stuck in it, lo yikser, I'm never going to ever harvest the peros of being a true Bas Torah and Eved Hashem. In other words, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from each and every one of us, and what each and every one of us needs in life, is true, deep consistency in our avodas Hashem. And what that means is that yes, I look forward to the moments of inspiration, and nobody's asking for the lows. But I'm so deeply connected to the Rabbona Shalom, I'm so one with Hashem and with His mitzvos, that day in and day out, I'm with Hashem. And I'm davening with the most kavan I could daven. I'm living up as a balas midos in the best ways that I can. And I'm dressing sanua, and it doesn't matter if it's the winter when it's a lot easier, it's the middle of the summer where I have a little more of a temptation not to, because it's hot. Literally, just on a simple level, physically, it's hot. It's mamish physically hot. Or I'm around people that are not seeing the chashivas in that, and it's easier to desensitize myself, and whatever it might be. No. It doesn't matter whether I'm in that moment when I'm so inspired or I'm not. It's all one, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is by my side always, and I'm one with Him, and I'm that consistent Eved Hashem and Bas Torah, and I'm not Shoyim Ruach, I'm not Halavai. Yes, we love the inspirational moments, but I'm not waiting and yearning for it to be an Eved Hashem. And if lo aleinu, a difficulty comes my way, I'm strong and I know I'm one with Hashem. And the Halakas Vasema says that's exactly what the praise of Aaron HaKohen was. Aaron lit the menorah. What is a menorah, by the way? What is a menorah? A menorah is the fire representing our fire in Avodas Hashem, our eslavas, our passion, our deep connection to Hashem. The menorah represented Torah. So Sfasem is the Rebbe says Shloshina. He never changed. What does that mean? It doesn't just mean he didn't change and didn't do the mitzvah the first time. Yesh Lefarish, we could explain, ki asa ma'isa mitzvahs kol yimei chayav b'kavana v'ratzon echad. He was able to do and perform the mitzvahs of Hashem his entire life with the proper kavana and the same will and want. Ki derech ka'adam, because the normal way of a person, Shibitzchila Misora Latov. At first, I'm very excited. I have the inspiration. I'm doing something new. His chadshus. It's exciting. Achikach nishkach mimeno. But over time, it becomes dull and I'm desensitized. It's not so exciting anymore. I have to find the inspiration. And that's exactly Aaron. The Shevach of Aaron was the same passion, the same Avodas Hashem, as the first time when he was just commanded by Hashem, which surely he had. He never ceased. He continued as an Eved Hashem his whole life. And that was the Shevach. And that was so great. And that's who each and every one of us need to be. As we enter into a summer, when sometimes it's a little bit challenging, we don't have the same Shemira necessarily by our side that we have all year long. We're not going to have this weekly Shir that we've had throughout the year. That alone for some. There's a Chizik, there's a Zoros in that. Something very, very real. Wherever we were during the year. And some of us, yes, it's true, some of us are going to go on Mechlalet and be involved in 6 weeks of Ruchnias and we'll be in Eretz Yisrael. It's beautiful, it's wonderful. Or other Makomos, there are other beautiful Makomos. But even the few weeks before, the few weeks after, there's time, specifically during the summer, each and every one of us is less connected to the Shmiros that we have throughout the year, that we have throughout the year to keep us passionate. With that hislavus, passion is the same lashon of lahav, of the flame, of the menorah. It's one and the same. So we have to have that consistency. How so? One is making sure in our actual avoda to not lower ourselves one drop. Even when I don't feel it in the same way. In the way that we serve Hashem. If I'm someone that davens every day, Sha'achus Mincha, I'm someone that dresses in a particular way, I'm someone that makes sure not to talk in a particular way, all that has to stay the same, unwavering, even when I'm not feeling the excitement. And that itself, you'll see, will build a connection, and build hislavas, and build passion when you don't find it. The Sefer Achinach tells us, Achur Pulosov Bo Machshavosov, that our actions control our thoughts. It does sometimes work both ways. Sometimes I'm inspired in my mind and my heart, so it causes me to do. But sometimes my doing will inspire my thoughts and my mind and my heart. And our actions have to be L'Shem Hashem always. No matter where I am, no matter what situation I'm in, no matter who I'm surrounded by, no, I'm above it. You know, there's a beautiful Torah, the Gemara Menachos, talking about the menorah, I was thinking about this. You know, the Gemara Menachos says that the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was 18 tefachim high. Now, 18 tefachim high is actually it's not that high. That's less than 6 feet tall. Less than 6 feet tall. But also it tells us that there was a stool that the Kohen, you can imagine Aaron, the Kohen would go up on this stool to light the menorah. Now think about it for a moment. If the menorah was only 6 feet high, now, again, I don't know the height of Aaron, but like most men, even Jewish men, that we're often very short, but how short? How short, right? Meaning even if you're 5'6", whatever it might be, with your arm and outstretched arm, a 6-foot menorah, you're able to light the menorah. You don't have to, the Kohen Gadol didn't have to go on a stool to be able to light the menorah. You could reach 6 feet. You know, Chvestis, you watch the NBA and the guys are slamming left and right, that's 10 feet tall. Okay, so most of us Jews can't do that. But 4 feet lower? I hope so. Right? 4 feet lower? Like if there was, you know, Chvestis, they have now the basketball hoops, I'm sure a lot of you have for your brothers and whatever it might be, you could lower the basketball hoop. So if you put it down to 6 feet, we're all going to be able to jam on that, really. All of you could jam on that, trust me. All of you could even do it. So at a menorah that's 6 feet tall, we need a stool. The Kohen Gadol needed a stool to light the menorah. So I saw a Torah once in a Sefer. It said as follows. I don't remember where I saw this, but it's a beautiful idea. We know that the Kohen Gadol wore a headband. He wore a headband. So that could be style too, you know? If the Kohen Gadol wore a headband, it's chashiv. Now only women wear headbands. I don't know, men don't really wear headbands so much, at least by the Yidden. But the Kohen Gadol wore a headband. Anyways, on the headband, it said mamish, the words, on the headband, Kodesh la Hashem, made holy for Hashem. It had Hashem's name. So therefore, it wasn't right, being that he had on his forehead, mamish, on his forehead, he had the words Kodesh la Hashem. The Kohen Gadol should never put his arms above that sit, which represented the Kedusha of the Rabbeinu Shalom. His arms should always be below. So if he didn't have the stool of Vada, yes, true, he would be able to reach the menorah. But he would have to what? He would have to lift his arm above the words Kadosh Lashem. If you go up on the stool, it would ensure that he never had to lift his arms above Kadosh Lashem. What does that mean? But there is rush to understand in our lives, what does that mean? Our arms, our hands, they represent our masim, our actions. It represents what we do. What we do should all be always be governed by the Rabbeinu Shalom. So our hands and our arms being under Kadosh Lashem means my actions are always mevatel, always nullified, always governed, always subservient to the Rabbeinu Shalom. My hands are never above Kadosh Lashem. No matter what I'm feeling, no matter what's going on in my life, I'm the same Eved Hashem through and through. Because it's much bigger than a moment of inspiration. It's my life. It's my chiyas. It's my relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom that's so deep and so real. And sometimes, again, it works both ways. Sometimes I have the inspiration from above that allows me to serve Hashem properly. And sometimes I have to push myself in the avoda that will rebuild the passion through the mitzvahs. You know, you saw this all the time. Sadly, you read stories, but in the Holocaust. And you have Yidden in the Holocaust that obviously lost everything. None of us could imagine, as much as we read and as much as we meet with survivors and hear stories and have learned about, we still only understand, mamish, a tipa bayam, a drop in the ocean of what that was to live through. To lose your entire family, be tortured day in and day out, not be able to keep Torah mitzvahs. None of us could imagine what it was. Yet you have story after story of Yidden who would sacrifice everything in the Holocaust to perform like one mitzvah. I was just recently over Shabbos, I read a story. The tzaddik, his name was Rav Ephraim Landner. Rav Ephraim Landner. And he's Eishes Chayil. And they had a little girl, Bela Gittel, before the Holocaust. And then the Holocaust began and things were getting worse and worse. And one day the two of them, Rav Ephraim and his Eishes Chayil, were in the apartment, and their daughter was with one of their parents, or with their grandparents, and that's when the Nazis came in to take them, to send them to concentration camp. Then they begged that they should wait at least till their daughter came back. The Nazis didn't care. They never again saw their daughter. And Rav Ephraim, he was in a concentration camp, and he was separated from his wife. They were in different concentration camps. And Rav Ephraim made sure somehow he had a tefillin shel yad. Just the shel yad. Just the tefillin that you put on your arm. And every single day, he put on tefillin shel yad. Every single day in the Holocaust, in the concentration camp, he hid it somehow and put on tefillin shel yad. And then Baruch Hashem, he lived through the whole Holocaust and liberation. And he found out, right after liberation, he found out that his Eishes Chayil's wife was still alive also. And she was in a concentration camp, mamish 20 kilometers away. And he quickly was able to travel. He got on like some army jeep, took him, and drove him to the concentration camp where his wife was. And he was reunited. He couldn't imagine what that was. He was reunited with his wife. It was somewhat bittersweet. They didn't have their daughter, but Baruch Hashem, at least they had each other after all those years of Gehenna Mal Aretz. And it was a woman's camp, but there were a lot of men that were coming to find people at that time. And that night he was going to stay at a section set aside, whatever it was, for men to sleep. And he was sleeping that night there, and he gets up the next morning and he realizes he was so excited to find his wife and everything, his tefillin that he had in his concentration camp he didn't have with him, and he couldn't believe it. What's going to be the whole entire Holocaust? He put on tefillin every single day in the concentration camp. Here, the first day of liberation, he's not going to give shevach l'Hashem and wear tefillin. He couldn't. He was beyond. But they're in a women's camp. There's no, even if someone, you know, in a lot of the camps, your story, there's like one pair of tefillin in here. But so one of the women there, he was talking to his wife about it, and one of the women heard, and they said, you know, this camp, before it was a women's camp, was a men's camp. And she knew somehow that the Nazis, they took away all the religious articles, all the tefillin, all the talis, all the sis, everything, and they buried them, and they threw them and buried them in a makom. She knew where the makom was. He says, mate, let's go dig, maybe you'll find there. And the three of them, she went and helped this husband, Ephraim and his Yisrael, and the three of them for over an hour are digging, it's cold, and digging into the ground, and they finally found a pair of tefillin. Mamish, just like they, Mamish, from being buried, being brought back to life, like they were, this pair of tefillin, they found the pair of tefillin. And he was able to continue to put on tefillin. And this couple, Ephraim, his wife, went, and they moved to Eretz Yisrael, and they rebuilt a family of Torah mitzvahs. And this woman, the woman who knew about and helped them dig and told them where to find tefillin, she ended up marrying the Ger Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael. She was the Rebbetzin of the Ger Rebbe. What do you hear in a story like this? This Rav Ephraim Mamish, you could imagine, we can't imagine, but what it was to be, whatever situation we go through in life, and our lows in life, our you know, Roat Ba'ovim, our clouds that we see, whether they're physical, emotional, spiritual, whether I'm just feeling far from Hashem, we can't even think about comparing that to what it was going through the Holocaust. But what do you find by Rav Ephraim? I mean, you found this by many Yidden. They understood, and what gave them the chizik, and gave them the Osiris, I'm going to link to one mitzvah I could do. And that mitzvah is going to give me chiyas, that's going to give me life, that's going to give me hiskashrus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's going to give me a kesher to Hashem, in such a deep, impressionable way. And we as well, lo shina, no matter what in our lives, halavai, we should always have the passion and excitement that we look for and that we enjoy. But at the times when we don't, v'yas kein aron, shelo shina. We don't change the way we serve our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we trust me, with time, that will rebuild the service itself. That will rebuild the excitement itself. We see this as well by David HaMelech. There's a Gemara in Pesachim, where we've all, everyone in this room reads Tehillim at times, Davin's Tehillim at times, learns Tehillim. So Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yizayin says, that sometimes it says, L'David Mizmar in Tehillim, and sometimes it says Mizmor LaDavid. Right? Pay attention, you'll see. Sometimes LaDavid Mizmor, sometimes Mizmor LaDavid. So Gemara tells us, LaDavid Mizmor, Melameh Shesharsal of Shechina, V'acher Kach Amar Shira. Whenever it's LaDavid Mizmor, it meant David had some Ruach HaKodesh, he had some deep connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shesharsal of Shechina, the Rebbeinu Shalom was with him, and what did he do? He had an outpouring of singing to Hashem, based on that excitement and soaris, like many of us have at times, right? In times of life, we're so inspired, we're so one with Hashem, we feel His presence, so what do we want to do? We want to serve Him properly. So that's LaDavid. LaDavid, he had it, Mizmar, so he's saying. But sometimes in life, even a David HaMelech, Mizmar LaDavid. Melamed Sha'amar Shira. He just sang to Hashem, he just davened. V'achach shor sol v'shechina, and then the Shechina came back, and the Shechina was with him. I mean, there were times in life that it was L'David Mizmar. There was times in life that he felt so much chizik and so much soris and so much inspiration. And therefore, he went. And therefore, he sang to Hashem. And therefore, he properly served Hashem b'Torah Mitzvos. And sometimes, he had to perform the Torah Mitzvos. He sang the Shira, which built the feeling of the Shechina with us. And realize that each and every one of us go through this in life. But never stop. And have that consistency. Shalosh Shina, v'yas kein Aaron, v'n Aaron HaKoyin. That's what the Mishnah in Avos also means. There's a Mishnah towards the beginning of Perkei Avos. Yosef ben Yo'yezer ish Sredav, Yosef ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim kiblu mehem. So these were the next two tzaddikim that accepted the Torah and the leadership of Klal Yisrael. Yosef ben Yo'yezer ish Sredav Omer. Yibes chabes vad l'chachamim. Your house should be a meeting place for Chachamim. It should always feel open to Talmidei Chachamim. I always felt, by the way, just a side point, what did that mean exactly? Do most of our homes, are they meeting places for Chachamim? I always felt Pirkei Avos was teaching us, just a side point for a moment, being that we're learning this Mishnah, was teaching us that our home, not necessarily, not everyone has a home where they're Raya and they're reasoning that their home should be a meeting place for Talmidei Chacham, right? Most people not. But you know, each and every one of us should have a home that's Raya to be a meeting place for Talmidei Chacham. That's fit for that. What do I mean by that? Think about how what we have in our homes. And think about if we had a gathering of Talmidei Chacham in our homes, would I feel proud about my home and what my walls are of my home and what's in my home, what my home shows, or would I be embarrassed, God forbid, to bring Talmidei Chacham into my home? I remember years ago, I was in my old house, and my Rebbe was coming, my Rebbe, Rav Mendel Blachman, one of my Rebbeim, I'm so close to so much of who I am, is because of my Rebbe from Karen Biavim, from KBY. Gadol Adar, a tzaddik, understands this world better than like anyone else in the world. And he was coming to my house to give a shir, which was beautiful, big schus. Over the years I've had it many times, give shirim in the home. And that particular day, he asked me, he was just getting off a flight that day, and he called me earlier, said, Ari, is it okay? I might want to lay down, come a little bit earlier and lay down for a little bit first. So I said, of course, no problem. The problem was, in my old house, so we didn't really have, on the main floor, we didn't have any guest room. And then the upper floor, I'm not going to have him lay, you know, he wouldn't want it. It's pretty strange to be in my room, obviously. That would be like really awkward. And then I had upstairs, we only had three bedrooms upstairs, and we had a baby's room at that point with a crib in it. I don't think he was climbing into the crib. And then the other room were my three daughters, which like a bunk bed and another bed, and it was like this like really girly room. I mean, I could have, but it was just, you know, it wasn't really befitting for a gadol. So in the only other room, my son had his bedroom in the basement at the time, which had two beds in there. He could sleep in the other bed also, so that made most sense. But I remember thinking about my son, Hashem, he was a healthy, normal, you know, at the point he was, my son's turning 18 now, this story goes back maybe, I don't know, 6, 8 years ago. You know, he's 10, 11 years old. So what's his room? His room is like, you know, a massive picture of Carmelo Anthony, and a massive picture of some other African-American athlete all over the room, you know? It's like all the, like mamish, all the walls are signed this and signed that. And I mean, he did have a picture of Rav Pam, who he's named after, and had, of course, my Rebbe, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, and also Baruch Hashem. You know, we mixed it up somewhat. Don't get me wrong, I was fine with that. It's healthy, it's good, Baruch Hashem. But, like, I'm thinking, bringing my Rebbe down there, it just didn't feel... I remember thought about like taking him down. Like, you know what? You have to be MS. It's okay. Kept him up. In the end, he came over later. Didn't end up wanting to lay down. So it never ended up happening. It never came to fruition. But I remember thinking that it was a little bit embarrassing. So when you build your bias, think about what do we have on our walls? What do we have in our bias? What does our bias represent? What type of bias? What's going on in our bias? Will we feel proud to have tzaddikim in our bias? So that's the first line in this Mishnah. That's not what we're talking about tonight. I just thought it's a good chizuk to everyone. And then once you have these tzaddikim, we should be sitting at the dust of their feet, meaning you should be sitting to learn from them. It's just a lashon of sitting to learn from them. This is more depth than I'm not going to get into right now. And then finally, this is what I wanted to get to. And you should drink and thirst their words. Not just drink their words, not just listen to what they have to say. But the Mishnah is telling us, you know what that tzamalecha nafshi means? I should always be thirsty for it. And you shouldn't want it. And that doesn't matter what state I'm in. It doesn't matter if I'm sitting in seminary Yishlaim or Kodesh with the greatest teacher in the world, or I'm sitting by Koisel Maravi davening with my eyes pouring down, or I'm in Woodmere, New York on Parshas Baloscha and Shul. It's the same tzamalecha nafshi. And it's the same avodas Hashem. And I'm that same Bas Torah. There should be that consistency in my avodas Hashem. And that's when it won't matter. If I have that consistency in my actions, that's when, halavai, we should always have the Hizoras, always have the Chizik. But even when we don't, you'll see we'll rebuild it through our action. And that's what we have to have with us all summer long. Just one Eitz HaTorah. How to ensure besides for just really, like Nike says, just do it, you know? That's what it really is. Just, you have to be that Eved Hashem, that Bav Torah, and not stop no matter what you feel. Of course, Rachmana Libaboy, it should be passionate and full of passion, but when we don't, we still have to do, and that will rebuild the passion. That's the first Eitzah, just to do, no matter what, no matter who you're with. But also, I think it's so important, and this goes for each and every one of you, and I would say this to in a men's share the same way, to make sure, if there's one limud you're going to be doing, you know, you have over the summer, and again, a lot of us are busy and have different internships and jobs and whatever you're doing, I don't know. But hopefully you should take out of your day to learn, even if it's for a few minutes, even if it's for 10 minutes. You might only have 10 minutes to do it. But that we should learn Torah every single day. You know, you have a chiyuv just like men in Berchas HaTorah, because you have a chiyuv to learn Torah Shebiksav, and you have a chiyuv to learn all the mitzvos that pertain to women, and you have a chiyuv to learn Musar and Machshava. Okay, so you don't have a chiyuv to learn Gemara. You don't have to sit and learn Gemara. You don't have to sit and learn Mishnayos. But there's enough out there. You know, you'll come to me after you finish all of Tanakh well, and all of you finish all of Sefer Musar Machshava well, and you sit and finish all of Halacha, then we'll discuss what to do next. When you finish all of that, come to me, please. There's enough to learn that you're mechuyev to learn, that you're obligated to learn. So each and every one of you should be learning every single day. Even if it's not the most important avod of your life, as a woman compared to a man. But that learning keeps you connected to Hashem. That learning, mamish, we've said it here before, I'm sure I say it in my men's shirim all the time, if those who've listened, the Baal HaTanya, or Shner Zalman of Ladi, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, he says in the fourth parak of Tanya, every time you learn Torah, you're hugging the Rabbein Shalom. Such a beautiful thought. I just think about it all the time. What does it mean to hug someone? It means you're coming close to them. You're getting close to them. We all want to be close to Hashem. Every time you learn Torah, you're hugging the Rabbein Shalom. How awesome is that? You want to give the Rabbein Shalom a hug? Just learn a little Torah. Like the last 40 minutes, we're all just like hugging the Rabbein Shalom. That's awesome. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful picture. You should really mamish feel that and know that. So someone once came to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was a tzaddik and said, if you only have 10-15 minutes a day, what should I learn? 10-15 minutes a day, what should I learn? There are a lot of areas to learn. This was a man, you'd think he maybe to learn Gemara. Learn. So if you only have 15 minutes a day, he said, you should for sure learn Musar. For sure learn Musar. He said to him, because if you learn 15 minutes a day Musar, you'll see that you really have 2 more hours a day to learn. That's what Rousseau Salanter says. But I'm not concerned whether you end up learning 2 more hours or not. Let's say, mamish, you really only learn 10-15 minutes a day. Make sure throughout the summer, if you want to build that passion and feel that passion, learn Sifrei Musar. Learn Sifrei Musar, learn whether it's whatever does it for you. You've all gone through. You could, and Sifrei Musar, it doesn't have to be something. It could be something you learned already 5 times. You'll see. We'll give you the same chizik. You learn Mesil Shesharim. You learn Orcha Sadikim. You learn Chovas Avavos Shar Bitachon. You learn some of the newer svarim that are very beautiful, Bishvili Nevroilam or Olam Amidos, Olam Avoda. There's so many beautiful svarim. It could be something in English also, by the way. If you're not so good in learning in Hebrew, take something in English. There are such beautiful Sifrei Musar in English. So that when you don't naturally, in an environment that might give it to you, you'll find your hislavas, you'll find your passion, you'll find your connection to Hashem in that limud. But everyone should take upon themselves tonight, if we want to feel close to Hashem throughout the entire summer, that I'm not going to go a day without learning 10 minutes of Sifrei Musar. It could be with someone else, it could be by yourself. Everybody in their own, whatever way you want to do it, whatever safer you want to do it. Again, Hebrew, English. Could be listening 10 minutes a day that you found, the Mr. Shear that you found online. Also could be, doesn't have to be learning inside a safer. Could be listening to it. But if you're listening to it, it has to be you're totally focused on it. If it's in the car when you're paying attention to 6 other things, that's not going to work. I'm not saying that's a bad thing when you're in the car. You should try, but at least have 10 minutes where you're fully focused. 10-15 minutes a day, you're fully focused on Sifrei Musar. On a limud every day. You'll see, it will give you the biggest chizik in the world. You'll be hugging HaKadosh Baruch Hu those minutes, and it will give you the chizik for the rest of the day to be close to Hashem and all that you do, and the chizik to give you that inspiration that we need to withstand whatever nisyonos, whatever trials and tribulations and challenges come our way. So Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we should all be zoicha to just keep on growing. Never stop growing. Always be in a state of growth. And that's true in the summer as well. And even if we're not going to see each other as often, not going to learn together as much, we should be zoicha that by the next time we're together, and hopefully we'll be in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, could be still at this table, but in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, we'll look at each other and say, Shiloshina. We went through 2 months, whatever it was, Shiloshina, but I'm the same, I'm with all the Slavas, and all the Avodah Hashem. The only Shina should be is bigger growth, and bigger connection to Hashem. And everyone should be Zoyche to a summer full of Simcha, full of Bracha, full of Gezunt, full of Kirvas Elokim, where you feel Hashem by your side. If you feel Hashem by your side every moment, you'll see you'll always be B'Simcha. And Meretz Hashem, we should only have Simcha to share, B'Sir Tovis to share, until we're together again, Be'ez Hashem, with Mashiach Zakenu, Shalai Mir Kodesh, B'Meher V'Meinu. I wish you have a beautiful, wonderful week. We'll see everyone soon in Meretz Hashem.